the topic for this morning is the same one that we've been focusing on for the last several months. It's the topic of prayer. Pastor Dennis has focused on it for several sermons. Ladies at Grace are studying Daniel's prayer using a book written by Billy Graham's daughter. Our small groups are discussing prayer using a book called Prayer, How Praying Together Shapes the Church. And many of you have been praying every Saturday for our church and for our worship services. So it's clearly been a focus. It is said that a visitor to Charles Spurgeon's Metropolitan Tabernacle once said, asked Spurgeon to tell him the key to his ministry's great success. In answer, the famous preacher took him down into the basement of his church, and there they found a group of church members in intercessory prayer. Here, he explained, is the powerhouse of the church. Billy Graham said, prayer is the Christian's greatest weapon. Before prayer changes others, it first changes us. And John MacArthur said, prayer is as natural for the Christian as breathing. Let me tell you a short story about a store in the hometown that Pam and I grew up in. It's Norwalk, Connecticut. It's about an hour outside of New York City. It sits right on Long Island Sound. In Norwalk, there's a largest dairy store in the world, and it's called Stu Leonard's. And Stu Leonard was a local resident who was a world champion water skier, but now is known as a champion, world champion marketing pro. When you go to the store, it's like going to Disney World. You go in the front door, and rather than go into the whole store, you go down an aisle. The aisle takes you first to the bakery to set the tone for the visit. You then go by the dairy, and all of a sudden you come upon a cow. It's not a live cow, but a cow where kids can go ring a bell and the cow goes moo. And then you work your way through the store. It's no wonder people buy tons of things here. The entrance to the store, there is one large tablet, and it looks like this. This talks about their store policy. Rule number one is the customer is always right. And rule number two is if the customer is wrong, reread rule number one. And they live by that. And they've been very, very successful. Now, if we adapt this approach to the subject of prayer, it might go like this. Rule number one is to pray. And rule number two, if you're in doubt or you're not praying, reread rule number one and do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. The Apostle Paul is not referring to nonstop talking, but rather an attitude of God consciousness and God surrender that we carry with us all the time. Billy Graham said prayer should be not merely an act, but an attitude of life. Every waking moment is to be lived in an awareness that God is with us and that He is actively involved and engaged in our thoughts, actions, and lives. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." This verse reminds us that in everything we need to be in prayer. Just as parents and grandparents want to be a part of everything that happens in their children and grandchildren's lives, so God the Father wants to be a part of everything that we do. Not just the times of trouble, but the times of joy and excitement. Ephesians 6:8 urges us, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Again, pray at all times. In this case, the focus is on praying for the saints, all true believers in Jesus Christ. And so the first and foremost point for this morning is that we need to pray without ceasing. Period. We need to pray without ceasing. It's like Ken's message to keep the main thing the main thing. We need to pray. So a question comes up, why should we pray? Why should we pray? Well, there are many reasons to pray, but two good ones are to seek God's presence and to show dependence on Him. When I was working full time, I had a marketing job that took me to Asia on a regular basis. So I spent a lot of time jet lagged sitting in informal settings, having tea with customers. Through that experience, I learned firsthand about how much caffeine there is in a cup of tea. Or in a cup of coffee, if in Australia, where every meeting seems to be in a coffee shop. Take me a week to stop shaking when I got back. But the important business lesson I learned was how important it is to have relationships before doing business. In fact, a marketing pro said it this way, R before I, relationships before issues. Our small group book on prayer puts it this way, we need to seek God's presence before we seek His provisions. We need to seek His presence before His provisions. We need to seek Him before we seek His blessings. When we pray, we are talking to God and building our relationship with Him, one that we depend on for everything. He is our Creator. He forgives our sins. He comforts and encourages us. And He is the only source of truth and lasting peace. It is the most important relationship we will ever have. Psalm 145:18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth." Psalm 30, verse 2 says, "O Lord, my God, I cry to You for help, and You have healed me." When we pray, we draw closer to God and acknowledge our helplessness and our dependence on Him. Billy Graham once said, "If Jesus felt that He had to pray, how much more do we need to pray?" All the time. Thank you. When should we pray? Well, two good answers are any time and all the time. And while we need to pray without ceasing, we also need to dedicate time during the day to stop and have focused prayer with our Father, the one who created us and loved us. Billy Graham has said, "In the morning, prayer is the key that opens to us the treasures of God's mercies and blessings. And in the evening is the key that shuts us up under His protection and safeguard." Mark 1:35 tells us, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went out to a desolate place, and there He prayed." The prophet Daniel prayed three times a day, just like clockwork. John Wesley arose at 4 o'clock in the morning to pray. Martin Luther had to have 3 hours a day in prayer. And Billy Graham said, "You cannot afford to be too busy to pray." While my own personal prayer routine has much room for improvement, I'm going to tell you about it anyway. My morning prayer time begins with selecting a topic. Now, I think I select the topic myself, but I don't. God picks it, and He reveals it to me somehow. And then I read what Scripture has to say about it. For example, a recent topic was God dwells within us. I then work on memorizing scripture verses. I find that I can memorize a verse, but somewhat later cannot remember the exact wording or the exact location. But the good news is that I can remember that it exists and roughly what it says, so I can go back and find it. So it becomes a part of me. So each morning, three or four parts of scripture, through the scripture reading and through the topic itself, and I find that another piece of scripture becomes part of me. I then follow with a time of prayer, which tends, in my case, to be mostly focused on thanksgiving and supplication. Now, why supplication? Well, I see everything in the world as a full glass. And I can see God's working everywhere. It's just amazing. I'm working on increasing my time on adoration and on confession. So I find this routine to be a great way to start the day. At dinner time, as with most families, we have prayer before dinner. Pam leads this prayer. I'm just the assistant. This is a great blessing to me, since I can learn what is on her heart each day. When her voice warbles or she tears up, I know how important and personal the need is for what she's praying for. And finally, I have prayer before going to sleep, with a strong focus on thanking God for the many blessings of the day and supplication for the day ahead. Now, I'd like to tell you I do this sitting up, but sometimes I do it in bed, running the risk that I might fall asleep. But finishing the day in prayer is really important. It allows me to think through all the blessings that have occurred during that day, and then to start to pray for the things ahead. So in answer to the question, when should we pray? The real answer is we should pray. There is really no right or wrong time. God is available and eager to talk and listen 24 hours a day. But let me quote a poem that makes a very good case for why we should begin our day with prayer. It's probably one that most of you know. It's called The Difference. I got up early one morning and rushed out into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems just jumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. He answered, "You didn't ask." I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, "But you didn't seek." I tried to come into God's presence. I tried all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, "My child, you didn't knock." So I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. Amen. I'm sure you all know that one, but boy, it really has a strong message. So the next question is, where should we pray? Well, the short answer is anywhere and everywhere, as long as we are focused on God and not on man. Matthew 6, verses 5 and 6 says, Jesus told his disciples, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." We can follow Jesus' pattern and pray in the early morning in a quiet place away from the crowds. Or, as he told his disciples, we can pray by ourselves in a room with the door closed. As you probably remember in the movie War Room, the lead woman had a special closet that she prayed in. She called it her war room. We can pray with a prayer partner while walking, much like Carol Wolf has done for many years. We can pray in our small groups and as part of our second hour Bible studies. And we can and do pray as part of our Sunday morning worship service. John MacArthur states, for the faithful, spirit-filled Christian, every place becomes a place of prayer. So there are many ways and places to pray, all valid and important. As long as we are focused on God, that is all that's important. Well, the last question, what should we pray about? A familiar format for prayer involves the Acts format: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Adoration and thanksgiving have us focus on God, who He is, and the blessings He has provided. And confession and supplication focus on us as sinners with the need for forgiveness and repentance, and as needy people with a long list of needs and wants. Let me take a look at each of these elements. Adoration acknowledges our love for God and who He is. A partial list of His attributes would include: God is sovereign, God is holy, God is love, God is grace, God is mercy, God is righteous, God is faithful, and God is truth. The two of His attributes we don't talk a lot about. I just wanted to mention them for a minute. One is God is infinite. He is self-existing, without origin. Psalm 41:13 said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." Colossians 1:17 says, "And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." The fact that God is self-existent, that He was created by nothing and has always existed forever, is perhaps one of the hardest attributes of God for the believer to understand, particularly if you have a scientific background. A.W. Tozer, an American Christian pastor and author, writes this about the attribute of God's infinity: "To admit that there is one who lies beyond us, who exists outside of our categories, who will not be dismissed with a name, who will not appear before the bar of our reason, nor submit to our curious inquiries, this requires a great deal of humility, more than most of us possess. So we save face by thinking God down to our level, or at least down to where we can manage Him." A second trait: God is self-sufficient. He has no needs. John 5:26 says, "For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son also to have life in Himself." As limited humans, we have incredible needs. God, however, has never once been in need of anything. God is perfectly complete with His own being. And because God is self-sufficient, we can go to Him to satisfy all of our needs. We never have to worry about drying up His never-ending well of goodness, peace, mercy, and grace. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us." John Taylor is now going to come up and lead us in a prayer of adoration. And following the prayer, we'll stand and sing "Majesty."
What an awesome God we have. Amen. This morning, for our prayer of adoration, I'll be reading through Psalms. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we will exalt You, our God, the King. We will praise Your name forever and ever. Every day we will praise You and extol Your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and we will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and we will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Our Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He hears their cries and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. Our mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. We will praise the Lord all of our life. We will sing praise to our God as long as we shall live. We do not put your trust in princes and human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On the very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those who help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Our God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How good is it to sing praises to our God? How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Extol the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, Zion. He strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders, satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He sends his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down his hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? He sends his words and melts them. He stirs up his breezes and the waters flow. He has revealed his word to Jacob, his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know his laws. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he has established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the heaven, or kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise be the Lord. In his name we pray these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
So the second element of the Acts format is confession. Proverbs 28:13 says, "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." John 5:16 says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We need to confess our sins to God and ask for mercy and forgiveness. During the time when Jeremiah, Daniel, and Ezekiel were prophets, and Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylonia, the Jewish people were exiled from Judah to Babylon for their sins against God. Daniel's prayer for his people is recorded in Daniel 9, verses 3 to 19, and is largely a prayer of confession, with adoration, thanksgiving, and supplication interspersed. Just before his prayer, Daniel had read scripture from Jeremiah a prophet who wept for his people because of their sins against the Almighty God and the judgment they deserved and received. In his prayer, Daniel confessed that we have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. It's verse 5. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land, which is verse 6. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by walking in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, refusing to obey your voice. That's verses 10 and 11a. And although Daniel had been told by the angel Gabriel that he was greatly loved, he included himself in the group of sinners needing forgiveness. Of the four elements of the Acts form of prayer, confession is perhaps the most difficult one to do publicly. Many times we need periods of silence to reflect on our sins and to ask for forgiveness. The truth is, though, we sin against God continually and need his forgiveness. Ken's now going to come forward and lead us in a prayer of confession, after which we will stand and sing, "Just As I Am."
So as we pray to confess, we'll start this time with just a moment of silence that you can personally confess, and then I'll lead us through a prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your almighty throne this morning to make confession of our complete and total dependence upon your grace and mercy. You are compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. For our sakes, you have not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is your loving kindness toward those who fear you. As far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us. Lord, we know that your hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, or your ear dull that it cannot hear. But our iniquities have made a separation between us and our God, and our sins have hidden your face from us. We even forget your mercy in the blindness of our hearts. We appeal to you to cleanse us from all our offenses and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength. We desire so to be right in your eyes, yet your word makes it clear to us that our righteousness does not come from us or from any attempts to keep the law. In fact, we find great relief when we learn that we do not have to perform for you to earn your love. All you require from us is to respond to your call on our lives and place our faith in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Nonetheless, we confess to you that we do get distracted at times and find ourselves attempting to earn your love by our efforts. Have mercy upon us, Lord, and forgive us when we lapse back into that worldly mindset of performance. Forgive us because we've sometimes lost sight of the singular objective of loving Christ with all of our hearts. When we do experience gains and blessings in our lives from your hand, may we consider them as loss when compared to the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord. Because truly blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there's no deceit. For when we kept silent, our bones wasted away through our groaning all day long. But now we have acknowledged our sin to you, and we did not cover our iniquity. We said, we will confess our transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of our sin. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. We wait for the Lord. Our souls wait. And in his word we put our hope. Our souls wait for the Lord. More than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Even in this very season, Lord, we ask your forgiveness for being consumed by the season and not by you. Forgive us, Lord, when we reduce Christmas to gifts and events. Have mercy on us, Father, when our self-absorbed nature causes us to forget about the pain and hurt of others. Let your grace consume us, O God, when we have loved the gifts more than the giver. In your mercy, help us to see that all the things we pine for are shadows, but you are substance. That they are quicksands, but you are mountain. That they are shifting, but you are anchor. We plead your forgiveness on the merits of Jesus Christ. Accept his worthiness for our unworthiness, his sinlessness for our transgressions, his fullness for our emptiness, his glory for our shame, his righteousness for our dead works, his death for our life. All this we pray and confess humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.
The third element of the Acts format is thanksgiving. Psalm 7:17 says, I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord the Most High. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Ephesians 5:20 says, Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This should be an easy one, since God provides so many blessings to each and every believer each and every day. He answers prayers. He keeps his promises. He supplies our daily needs. He heals us physically, spiritually, emotionally. He loves us as a father loves his children. And he will make believers co-heirs with Jesus Christ. What an incredible thing. The book of Psalms is particularly rich in songs of praise and thanksgiving. An answered prayer list is another source of reasons to thank God. Looking back over the day at night or the next morning will provide a long list of reasons to thank God. And the most important reason for thanking God is that his Son, his free gift of salvation came from his grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Bob Kane is now going to come forward to offer a prayer of thanksgiving, after which we will stand and sing, My Heart is Filled.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer and give thanks. Accept, O Lord, our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. Thank you for blessing my family, church family, and friends. Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the world so that sinful men might be forgiven of their sins and given peace with God through the sacrifice of the life of Christ Jesus. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I thank God for what he has done in my life and his promises kept. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Alleluia. Mary, you have found favor with God and have given him a son. You shall call him Jesus. He will be great and called the Son of the Most High. Let us now give thanks for the birth of Jesus. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Lord God, this Advent is a season of joy and rejoicing as we wait for Christmas and the birth of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. It is my prayer that our church family all have a joyous and merry Christmas. Remember, Jesus is the reason for the season. Alleluia. Amen.